This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself.
I feel like I'm getting left behind. Like, that's how I feel. It sucks so hard. So despite having all of these things, I feel like I'm being left behind. And I was like, I can't afford therapy, so I have a podcast. Let's talk about it on the podcast.
Okay, I think we need to start this episode by saying thank you to our lovely listeners about the reaction that we've had for the last couple of episodes. So our Barbie one, of course, but also the mini episode that we did about the Lizzo situation, because we were both really scared about that. And I think you can hear like the trepidation in our voices when you listen to that, about we didn't really know if we should say something and then also what we should say. But the reaction from our community has been amazing. So thank you.
Yeah. And just to reiterate really what Lauren said, like, I just want to say thank you so much. A lot of you said that, you know, we had said exactly how you had felt, but didn't really know how to say it. And that really meant a lot to us. So huge thank you for that. And I'm so pleased as well that you really enjoyed the Barbie episode. Literally 5 minutes before we started recording this episode, I had a DM from Sharon Rooney.
Stop it!
Our very own plus size Barbie. How cool is that? Hi, Sharon, so if you're listening, that'd be cool. Please come on our podcast.
Oh my God. Do you know what's so funny? It's because that you got that DM while we were like, just before we recorded, both our first instinct was like, can we get her on the podcast?
Oh, I do hope so. That would be really, really nice. But yeah, loved your reaction to the Barbie episode. And I really, we need to go back and see it again, because I feel like I understand it more
now.
We
still haven't, have we? No, we need to do it.
We need to have that in more comfortable chairs.
Yeah, in comfortable chairs. And I think I'm going to have like more snacks this time, less
I'm
drink.
I'm up for it. I'm handing my, I got my book back. This is my big news. Well, I have two bits of big news, actually. I got my book back.
Love.
It's gone through two editors now. And so I've been pulling all-nighters most of the last week, hence my very, very large eye bags. But yeah, it's really exciting. It's so nice to have it back, because it's sort of like I handed it in. I was so happy with it, as you know. But yeah, I've kind of like missed it. It's like, I got my baby back.
So
that's been really nice to sit and read through that and do the amends.
And I'm assuming they liked it. It's all good. You're happy.
Yeah, I had really lovely feedback. It's still really scary. But the new editor, she messaged me and my main editor, Beth, to say that she genuinely thought that the manuscript was amazing and that she really enjoyed reading it. And she had to kind of, what did she say? She said, I had to keep reminding myself that I was editing it because I was enjoying it and engrossing it so much. And I thought, coming from someone who's been in the game for 20 years, like, that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
So I'm just so excited for you all to read it now. I can't wait. I felt like January was so far away and now it's coming around really quickly.
I can't wait. Oh my God, that can probably be not a bigger compliment from an editor, right?
I know.
That's amazing. Laura, I'm so proud.
Thank you.
I'm so proud.
Yes, that's given me a boost.
I'm so excited.
And my other big news is that we are moving house. Finally. I hope so. Anyway, touch wood. It's all changed now since I moved. You've got to have you can't basically even look for houses unless your house is sold.
Oh, well, that's normal, right?
Well, it wasn't when I moved 7 years ago. They wouldn't take it off the market and we couldn't proceed anything until there was a complete chain, which I get, that's fine. But we now have a complete chain. We went for a second viewing recently and we still really loved it. It's like a blank canvas at the moment. So there's nothing, it's got no personality, white walls, grey carpets, your face. Favorite.
But also I feel like you quite like
no
that.
I don't, this is the thing, I've actually really gone off grey.
Oh, no more grey.
Yeah.
Yes,
so my house is quite grey, but this is very is going to be like colour and blue and warm, and yeah, like we're going to go modern farmhouse darling, I think, in the new house.
Modern
but
farmhouse.
I'm just really excited to move, and I'm really excited to have I'm going to get a room for my nieces just for them, like all pink and nice. So yeah,
cute.
I'm really, really excited.
This is so exciting. Honestly, house stuff is such a big deal. It's so stressful. So I'm so excited, and I can't wait to see what you do with it and what colour you have, because I feel like my interpretation of colour and at this moment, everyone, I think we know I recorded the little room and it's like slap you in the face colour is different, because your living room currently is like sort of cute, like neutral tones and like a bit of purple and stuff, and it's beautiful. I'm feeling that kind of vibe, right?
Definitely, yeah. More calming. I need calm.
Calming will be good. I can't wait. I'm so excited for you guys and I can't wait.
Anyway, enough about me. How are you?
I'm good, because I'm, you know, it's me. I'm always good.
Liar! Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. If I'm not going, I'm great, thank you, how are you? And if I said, no, I'm good, thanks, then you know something's wrong. Nothing's really wrong. It's just, I miss being in my 20s, Laura, because I'm such like a birthday month girl.
Are
right?
you? I did not know.
Unapologetically. No, right? But since turning 30, I dread my birthday. I dread it to the point where when I turned 30, and I think we've spoken about it in a podcast episode before, I made myself sick with worry and anxiety and stress about it. It's like very dramatic, but I just, you know, it's the being single and child-free at 30 thing. And now all of a sudden, I'm about to turn 35 in October and I am still single and child-free. And the alarm bells, the pressure, all of it in my head right now is deafening, and it's all I can think about, and it's making me feel really shit, to be honest. And I messaged you about this last week and I was like, I think we need to do an episode on these like milestones of life. And you said yes, and we're recording it today, and I'm so pleased because I think I need to talk about it. And I think if I'm feeling it, I know you'll be feeling some pressure of other stuff. And I know pretty much everyone listening will feel a certain amount of pressure about something. So I think we've got to talk about it.
So where did this kind of like come from? Because I hope you don't mind me saying, it kind of felt like it came out of the blue because you just started a new job and like one minute you were really, really happy and really excited about that. And then the next minute you were like having this kind of existential crisis. And I was like, oh, okay. So how did this all come about?
Tell me about existential crisis. I literally went home one night last week and just lied on the sofa on my mum's lap and cried. Like that kind of existential crisis. Thank God for Ali Smith, honestly.
Babes.
I'm almost 35. I have bought a house. I have a great job. I have this podcast. I have wonderful friends. I have my family are all healthy and wonderful. I have so much. However, the two things I don't have are a partner and children. And the older that you get and the more into your 30s that you get, the noise of that pressure gets louder and louder. What also get, and we're going to talk about this, but the time pressure of children.
Yeah.
In the 2 months usually leading up to my birthday in the last few years, I've started to feel that pressure. Soon as I get to my birthday, midday on the birthday, I'm absolutely fine, I don't care again, but I just feel it. And this wonderful new job, I love it so much. I'm so happy. But a lot of people that I work with are younger than me and are in either, you know, similar sort of level jobs to me or are a lot younger than me and just like a level below. So there's that kind of comparison thing. My friends, I'm kind of at this moment in time, I'm sort of the last single girl, and that's hard. That's really fucking hard. And I've never really been that before. And that hurts so much. All my friends that don't have children but are in relationships are starting to make plans. And I'm like, I feel like I'm getting left behind. Like, that's how I feel. It sucks so hard. So despite having all of these things, I feel like I'm being left behind. And I was like, I can't afford therapy. So I have a podcast. Let's talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, I'm so glad that you are, though, and that you've been so open and honest about it. Because like you said, I'm sure so many of us feel this. Whatever stage you are in your life, there are certain, like you say, certain milestones. But I do think coming up to 35, we are constantly reminded as women that your fertility falls off a cliff.
Falls off a cliff is the term that is used when you are turning 35. 35.
It's horrible.
It's heartbreaking. And it's also not true.
Yeah.
It's not true.
It's not true. It's not like on like at the strike of midnight on your 34th birthday. Yeah,
your eggs are all off. They've had enough. They're off. Bye. See you later.
But it's so frustrating, isn't it? And like I can kind of empathize with some of what you were saying. Because I feel like when I meet new people, they say like, oh, have you got kids? And they expect you to go, yeah, I got one or two, and then moan about them.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is the generic response, isn't it? And I just go like, and I used to go, no, you know, we try, but you know, it didn't happen or whatever. And now I just go, no. And I watch the uncomfortableness in their face. And they're thinking, why? And it just feels like, I say this as like someone who is, as I say, who is married, but I still feel like it doesn't matter what you do in your life. You can have like the best job, the biggest house, the best, you know, like all you can have like all these exciting things, wonderful friendships, great family, amazing holidays. And yet people will still fundamentally boil you down to having, are you married or are you with someone and have you got children as your greatest achievement? I remember when I was a teenager, actually probably more like early 20s, I think. And I was dating and I was not having massive luck with it. And I remember my, I overheard my dad saying to my stepmom, all I want is for her to just get married and have lots of babies. And I remember saying to him, you should want so much more for me than that. It is not the be all and end all, but I feel like society puts so much pressure on us and makes us feel like that is like kind of, it's intrinsically linked with our value. And I think that's so wrong.
It is. It's really hard. And it's always the questions that people ask. Like if you go to a family function and you haven't seen like, you know, your dad's friend's granddad's uncle's cat and they haven't seen you for a while and they ask those questions and it's, oh, you married yet? Oh, have you got kids yet? And that's the only things they ask. Yeah. But it boils it down to these are the most important things. And then that uncomfortableness of answering that question then sits with you and you feel, they don't feel it. They don't care. You feel it. And I'm with you. Like, and again, I can't empathize with your situation because I know it's so much harder, so much more difficult. But when you have to answer the no, it's like, no, I don't have children or no, I'm not married. It hurt. And like having to come up with a jovial answer when perhaps you are heartbroken that you don't is really shit.
I also just, I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel like I have to justify it. Like,
yes,
no, but.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about this on the podcast about being like the good fatty and having to like make up for other things that you feel like you lack, your perceived kind of lack of achieving a certain beauty standard. So you like the funny one, the caring one, the kind of the nurturing one, the mum figure. And I definitely feel like that when you haven't hit those certain milestones of like got married, had a kid and all of that. And when I got married, even people like my nan were like, I'm just so proud of you. And I was like, why are you proud of me? Like without,
nah,
I don't get
I ain't
that.
Having it. Do you know what? If I ever get married, the one thing I think about this often, I will say to my dad to not add into his speech, do not say that you're proud of me for getting married because I haven't done anything. Getting married, I think, is a very easy feat. Like, do you know what I mean? So don't say, I'm annoyed at that for you because don't say you're proud of me for getting married. That's not so true. Like, it's wonderful and I'm glad you're happy and I hope you'll both have a wonderful life together and all that, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
Be proud of me. No!
Yeah, there's so many other things to be proud of.
Yes.
It's just weird. Like, I feel like sometimes I think like we've come really far as a society and things are changing. And I follow a really amazing woman on TikTok who's child-free by choice. And she talks a lot about having to like defend conversations around, you know, well, who's going to look after you when you're old and all of this.
Oh.
And it's not just women either, though. I do think, like, I think for men as well, they feel the pressure from like their families to be like, when you're getting married, when you're settling down. I think it is different, though. I think it is very different. Yeah. Do you?
Yes, 100%. We can't talk for dudes, obviously, but there is no way in which it is worse for them, that pressure. They do not have a time limit. And there is a very, very loud and strict time limit for women. And the sentences on every single website I checked was, if you're 35 or over, you need to do it sooner rather than later, was the sentence. And that's it. And it's true. And it's scientifically and factually true. The percentages of being able to conceive a child within a year do drop the older that you get. But it's not like 1% chance, no. You know what I mean? But we feel it so much more loudly, more heartbreakingly. Like, if you want children, and that's where I'm at the minute. Basically, I know I want them. I don't even know if I'm able to have them. But also on top of that, my age could be something that stops me from having them at all. And that's really shit.
And it's just having the choice taken away from you, isn't it? That's the upsetting thing.
Sucks.
So was there anything that like happened? Because to be honest with you, up until very recently, like you've always said to me that you kind of sat on the fence.
Yeah.
And then we went for lunch, I think, and there was like a really cute little kid. And I was like, it looks like a little mini you, Lauren. And you're like, stop it. I think I really want kids. Yeah. So was there like a turning point or did you just kind of wake up one day and were like, or is it the pressure?
I never wanted to. And probably a lot of people listen to this podcast will be the same. Up until I was probably about 27, I didn't really want them. And then I was in a relationship at the time that I was like, oh, I could see having a child with this guy. And then obviously that didn't work out. And then I think when you are single specifically and child-free, you have to get in a headspace where you kind of are fine with it. And then you kind of bat it away for so long. And I've been doing that. And I remember me and Stacey, my friend Stacey, went for a walk on New Year's Day this year. And I was like, do you know what? If I need to get serious about this, I'm going to have this year as like, you know, maybe try to date, maybe, you know, live my life a little bit. And then from the 1st of January, 2024, I need to start making a plan because I'm getting older and these options are going to be taken away from me. And that 1st of January 2024 is coming up very fast. And whether I do something or not, it was just that conversation that I put out into the world with my friend. And now I'm like, that's coming up really fast. And I just, the option could be taken away from me. And all my friends pretty much who have got children have got the two children or the three.
Yeah.
And they're you know, they're done with it. It just, I don't know. I'm really struggling with it. I hate it.
It's hard as well. I just want to really quickly touch upon the fact as well, like you said, like most people have got two or three kids.
Mm.
I think it's also hard for people that have got one because
they're maybe trying
for another one, or they can't afford another one because everyone, this is the thing, right? As soon as you get with somebody in a relationship, they're like, when you're getting married, then you get married, when you're having a baby, then you have a baby, when you're having another baby. And then if you do have another one after that or another one, it's like, oh, stop, enough now.
Yeah.
And it's like,
three is the limit.
Yeah, like, I don't have any more. It's greedy. But going back to you, I do feel like, and this is the thing, mate, I totally, totally understand it. It's completely normal because of, like we just said, societal and biological pressures. But I do feel like you are putting an enormous amount of pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Thinking that you're going to hit 35 and that's it. Game over. You've just started a new job, a fantastic new job, which is quite high pressured and very fast paced. Give yourself some grace.
I know. And I should. And it's just, sorry, I'm now going to get upset because I kind of said to my mum this week, I was like, I am putting the pressure on myself for sure. I do need to let myself, you know, settle into this new job. And, you know, I'm trying to kind of do other bits with my life as well. And I need to let that happen. But I also said to mum, there is a part of me that's like, perhaps I'm not putting enough pressure on because I haven't dated in a long time. And, you know, the biological clock is doing its thing, so maybe I haven't put enough pressure on myself. And I know people feel that, and what my mum was so good, and I know you'd say the same thing, and mum was exactly the same as you just said. She just like, Lauren, stop putting the pressure on yourself. My circumstances is that I haven't dated for a long time or a lot over the last, say, 6 years, because I was really unwell and I couldn't, and I had kind of like a mental breakdown because of something that happened, and it took a very long time to get over it. So I feel like I've lost those years. Unfortunately, they're like, you know, key years, like your early 30s kind of thing. Now I'm here where I'm at, and it's so difficult to kind of bring yourself back in and say, and be grateful for all the things that I've got and know that I still got the time. Factually and scientifically, I know that I have still got the time. I don't know. I've felt the pressure probably for the last like three, four years, but it's just deafening with the 35 looming. Mm. I feel like I'm staring down at the barrel of a gun at 35.
It must be so hard. I don't want to sound patronising, but no. I do feel for you, and I do, like, I see how cut up you are about this, and I, you know, watch your Instagram stories talking to as well about all the patronising comments people say to you, and I hate that. I don't want to add to the rhetoric, but like, online dating does sound horrible. It sounds awful, and you've got the added pressure now of like knowing that you want kids.
Yeah, it's hard,
and this kind of time thing of like, if you meet someone, it's like a job interview, isn't it? Hi, how are you? Are you fertile? Would you like children? How soon? Do you know what I mean? It must be horrible.
It is really hard. Me and my friend Emma have spoken about this a lot. Like, we've had really, what's quite wonderful about having like really close female friendships is that the conversations that you have as you get older get a lot deeper. So we've had some really fantastic conversations about like fertility and that stuff. And, you know, the very real worry that because we are getting older, and if you haven't got a partner, feeling like a bit of you might settle because you're like, shit, I'm running out of time. But also knowing full well that neither of us would ever settle. But then also talking about options of doing a fertility test of some sort to check if it's even a thing. I think I've talked myself out of that because I think the answer either way is not going to be good for me. And looking at freezing the eggs, I was doing that last night. But I don't have a spare 10 grand, mate. So like, that's not even a possible slight option. It's just stupid.
Even freezing your eggs, like,
it's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot of money. Mm. It's actually quite an intense procedure, and the success rate isn't that high. I don't want to be
No. I need that. No, we all need that. I need to be honest about it.
You know, bad news or anything. Mm. It's so hard. It's just because you don't know. Like, if I said to you, Lauren, you will be able to have babies up until 42, right, you'd go, oh, okay, yeah, maybe that feels a bit better. It's just the unknown, isn't it? It's scary. Unknown.
And this is it. And I may not even be able to conceive at all. I could have been, you know, I could have never been able to conceive. And so, and it's like, oh, do I do a fertility test to get that control back? But also my mum made a really good point last night when, again, I went round her house and just cried. She was like, what are you going to do with that information? If you find out you've got 2 years left, that's not going to be good for you, is it? So anyway, that's where
also
I'm at.
Also doesn't work like that, babe. It's hate to break
no,
into
you. No, I know. Well, I imagine so. You have
18 months left of fertility.
No, I know. But, you know, that's my situation. I think it's just really shit because, again, there's no prospective baby daddy up in here. You know, if I was in a relationship, I think I'd feel it slightly less. I know that my friend who's in a new relationship is still feeling the pressure because it's like, well, you're still getting older no matter what. But there's no prospective baby daddy, so that's not making me feel great either. But in my head, I just kind of want to close my section of this story. And you know, I am thinking about other options because people always say that, and I'm sure they've said that to you, Laura, and we'll talk about your stuff in a second. But I would love to adopt. I think if I get to a certain age and I've got that in my head, if I haven't had a child with a partner or whatever, then I will absolutely look to adopt because I think that would be wonderful for me. It's not for everybody. So there are options, and I know that's an option open to me. I've even looked at fostering before, and I think I'd be open to that. So that's just me, and I know so many people will be feeling it. That's one of these milestones that I think is more difficult because there is a biological endpoint. Mm. So obviously for you being married, and you've talked a little bit about fertility stuff, I can't imagine the pressure, mate, that you must feel.
Do you know what? I have really come to a place. It's weird because I sort of like my go-to defense is like, don't talk about it. It's in the past. I've dealt with it. I think I probably do need like some more like counseling or therapy around it. But it's weird. I was chatting to Lottie about this the other day. She was saying to me, she was like, mate, are you just saying that you're fine with not having kids or do you not? And I was like, we talked a lot about it actually in her back garden, and I didn't even really get upset. And like normally, literally as soon as any mention of it comes, I just cry. I just feel like life is good, and I have my nieces and they're amazing, and I cannot wait for them to go home because they're so loud and so messy. And like, I don't know. I just feel like maybe it isn't like meant for me, and maybe it isn't the be and end all. And if we did end up having kids, I'd only really want one anyway, because I just see how miserable, tired and poor everyone is that has kids. I don't mean that. I just mean that obviously it's a big struggle, like financially,
no,
and they don't
absolutely.
Sleep and they're just constantly stressed and they're like snapping at each other. And I would really love to do an honest poll one time on Instagram. I've been wanting to do it for ages to say to people, like, is it actually worth it? Or is it just because you feel like you had to have kids? I know there's loads of people that will say it's the best thing in my life. And yeah, it's stressful. And yeah, it's tiring. But I wouldn't change them for the world. But I think that about Buddy. I know it's completely different. I'm not.
I was about to say, I feel about the house. Like, I know it's not the same thing, but like, I love my house. But if I'd had my time again, would I do it?
Right.
I don't know if
exactly.
I would buy a house. Honestly.
Exactly. So just for example, example, I'm sure there are quite a lot of people. It's one of those things we never talk about, of like people that regret having kids. And I know it's because it's horrible to say that about your own children, but I bet there's so many people that do. Anyway, yeah, I am feeling a bit of pressure coming up to 35, but I think I've just been through the ringer so much with it that I just have come to a point where I think, A, I've kind of accepted that it hasn't happened and may not happen. But I think there is also a part of me that hasn't also given up hope.
Okay.
Maybe it might happen when I least expect it, but we aren't trying at the moment. It isn't on the cards. We're not pursuing anything. Every fucking door has been slammed in our face because of our weight, even though, like, we have, it's like unexplained infertility. Like, we don't have, I have polycystic ovaries, and I think my weight probably is a contributing factor, but there's nothing wrong as such. Do you know what I mean? Like, fundamentally, I don't have like low egg reserve. Matt's fine. Like, there's nothing really. But we can't do anything. We can't have IVF, and we can't even adopt because of our BMI. And it's just mad. Personally, I don't think adoption is for me. Like, and maybe I'll get shit for that.
No,
but
don't.
That's just me personally. Like, but fostering, I would absolutely love to do. So, like, it's everyone's
you?
Different. Yeah,
I think
I could actually see myself
fostering.
This is what I think might happen. I don't know why. I'm going to fuck it. I'm going to manifest it. Maybe we get our house and I decorate all the nice little pink room for the nieces, which I'm so excited about. We end up fostering and then maybe we adopt like from that. Who knows?
I think you'd be a great foster mum, by the way.
Thank you.
You've never mentioned that before. I think you'd be really good.
Yeah, I would really like to do it. Matt's aunt fostered a lot and she said it's not as glamorous as you think it is.
God, no.
People think that, you know, the kids are going to be so grateful and loving, and that she's like, they're not. They don't want to be there. They want to be with their family. It's hard, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm not going into it all like, you know, it's going to be a Disney movie. But yeah, we'll see. I think, yeah, definitely do have some like underlying trauma around the baby thing still. And I have Matt and we talk about it a lot and we've been through it. So yeah, I think that's where I'm at the moment. But like, yeah, never say never. But it still hurt. Like I'm talking about now and it does hurt, but I'm not crying my eyes out, which so I think is progress.
This is a different conversation that we would have had a year ago, I think.
Massively, yeah. It's all consuming infertility. Like it literally is the worst thing I've ever been through in my life. I know I'm in a better place now because pregnancy announcement used to absolutely crush me, like destroy me, even from my own family. Then you feel like an absolute prick because you're like, okay, that's horrible. I should be happy for them. But then you are happy for them, but you're also really sad for yourself. But then people don't understand that you can be both of those things and it causes a lot of tension. I fell out with a friend because of it because I didn't like her social media posts about her pregnancy.
Over there.
Fuck off. And it does. It can cause tension. And my own dad was like, I don't get it. Like, you should be happy for them. And I was like, until you have been through the pain... Mm. Of every month thinking, is this it? Is this it? Of negative after negative test, you will never ever know. Like it's heartbreaking. It's horrible, and we don't talk about it enough. Just like we don't talk about the pressures we as women face to achieve certain things by a certain age. And I know that the thing that upsets me about your situation is I know that if kids don't happen for you, like it is in the kind of next couple of years or whatever, you'll be like, right, well, I've got to have this massive career. Like you'll feel like you've got to overcompensate, and like, why do we do that? It's horrible. I want to go back to the Barbie movie of like, we just cannot win.
We can't win, and we absolutely can't win because I'm on the day of recording this, I put something on my stories this morning to kind of say to people, like, do you feel this pressure too? And the amount of women who have messaged me to say, I have got a husband, I've got two children, I've got the house, I've got the dog, I've got the job, but I still feel pressure about something else because you feel pressure about being a good mum and comparison to others. Someone else has got a better house than you. Perhaps they've got more savings. Or you can't win. You can't win. And yes, there's this biological thing about having a children and I kind of want to put that to bed a little bit, but even if the people that have got it all on paper don't feel like they've got it on paper. And I've said this in the episode that we did with Shaney Silver about being single. I don't think that when I have it all in air quotes, I will feel, I'm done now. Because you just don't. You just don't.
I think that's also because we live in such a consumerist society, like that whole keeping up with the Joneses thing. Like you said, you're spot on with that. I wonder how many people listening now are thinking that same thing. Like, are we ever just allowed to be content? Like, I think that's like one of the hardest things. That's what I aim for in my life, is just to be content with my lot.
Yeah.
But we always want like something more, don't we? Like even like me now, sitting here going like, I want a bigger house. So we've gone out. We are literally mortgaging ourselves up to the eyeballs. And I worry it's going to be a massive chain around both of our necks. But we're like, oh, it's fine. Like we want it. And it's just, I mean, I guess on the one hand, it's like quite nice to know it's normal and that we all feel it. But also it's about understanding why we feel it, isn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, and I don't know, because I think a lot of these milestones, they do come from comparison because...
Yeah.
At 34, I would say about 80% of my friends are married with children, right? So in my head, you're like, well, that's what's air quotes normal then. At 23, 60% of my friends had gone to uni and finished their education. So that's you feel like is normal. And all these other, you know, by 30, 60% of my friends had bought a house. So you feel like that's normal. So it's this comparison thing all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why we feel it, and sometimes it's jealousy. Like there are some friends that I'm certainly jealous of or envious of. I want them still to have the thing, but I also want it.
Yeah, so envious. Yeah, it's a good word.
That's the pressure, is like you're seeing all your friends that perhaps you've grown up with or people that are the same age as you and they've achieved all this other stuff and you haven't. They just it just hurts sometimes. And especially the older you get, it can hurt. But also I have faith in the fact that the older I get, and I know that from my DMs this morning, that people care a little bit less. So I'm waiting for that time, Laura.
Yeah. And I do think as a society, that's really hard to say.
As a society.
Thank you, darling. Things have like progressed and changed. Like when I think about our parents' generation, so my mum's, she'll kill me for this. I'll just say mid-50s, doesn't hate me. She said, literally, you left school, you got with someone, you got married, you had kids. It's just what you did. And if you weren't knocked up by, you know, I hate that phrase, but if you weren't having, you know, pregnant by 23, 24, then that was like something was wrong. Mm. Whereas one of my really good friends, her sister got pregnant at 21, 22. And my immediate reaction was, oh
my God.
Is she like...
teenage pregnancy.
literally. This is a thing. So we have definitely like changed and evolved, and you see a lot of women having babies in later life. Mm. It's just so unfair, isn't it? That biologically that puts us
there's
at...
There's a limit.
Yeah, there's a limit. And it's just, it's unfair. But I wonder if that'll change. I also think that you need to take a lesson out of your own book and what we talk about all the time of like, you know, having that fat friend.
Yeah.
Is having more like single friends that don't like have kids. Because I think that has definitely helped me. I don't think it's a coincidence, although I think I told myself on a previous episode that it was subconscious. And it was. It wasn't like I sought it out. But all of my close friends don't have kids. Mm. I don't know. I just think that that makes me feel less alone and like less of like the one that's left out. So
yeah.
Trouble is, you haven't got time for any more friends.
I haven't. And on that, though, I will say I'm slightly concerned that when I do, you know, with all the people that have got children and they want to talk about them, and of course I want to hear about, I love them all. They're so, you know, wonderful kids, love my friends, but it's getting more and more heartbreaking to hear about how your second child is going to school next year and how this is happening and you're organising this birthday party, and it's getting harder and harder to hear about that and sit there and be all right with it. So I'm scared about what that might do to friendships. I wonder if other people feel that. That's something I literally started feeling last week. I'm not ready to kind of go too much into it, but if other people have felt that, because it sucks. But again, I know on the flip side that as parents, they also feel that pressure, and they feel like sometimes they lose their friends because their world becomes about their children. So again, it's another thing of we can't win.
I definitely, on that whole kids school thing, like I said, mostly fine about it. But I think it was about a year ago, I picked my niece up from school and I saw loads of people, mums that were below my school year from my school, picking up their kids.
That's
and
horrible.
That was like an absolute physical punch in the stomach. And I was like, I felt like I'd failed. And I felt like a sense of embarrassment because it's not my choice. Like, you know, people like, I choose not to have kids and whatever.
Yeah.
I just felt like a failure. And that's horrible. Sometimes it gets you in different ways, doesn't it? Sometimes when you least expect it.
Yeah. There is that thing, that added kid thing of feeling like a failure. And, you know, I started listening to a podcast recently. It's like 15-minute episodes all about like the cycle. And it's a 15-minute episode per day of the cycle. And I was like, this is really good. And we actually want to do an episode on this because I don't know enough about the cycle. And I'm 34. I should know everything, I feel like. And it just started to get me really upset. I thought I'd be, you know, this educational thing that I'll listen to on my walks. And I was walking in tears because it talks about the cycle. And it obviously the cycle has one purpose, and that is to produce a child. And I'm like, I feel like you said, like a failure because it's not doing what it's meant to do. How many people feel like that? I know you have. It's so stupid. And we're not a failure. Other things are going on. Sometimes it's your choice. Sometimes it's not. We're not a failure because of it. That's just the circumstances. But, oh, man, the kid thing's so shit.
Sending you a massive hug, literally, down the old...
I know. I wish we were together today.
I really feel for you. And I can sort of, you know, I can see and I can hear and I can feel how upset you are. And I just want to wave a magic wand and it will be all right for you. But, like, all in good time, my love. That's what I said to you the other day. Like, all in good time. And I know it's hard. And sometimes you just have to sit with it and just... You know, nothing's going to change overnight. You've just got to feel it, haven't you? Feel those feelings. It's hard.
Feel it. And I think what you just said is really good. And you didn't try and fix the situation. And again, this podcast, if you're listening to it and you are feeling the same feelings we're feeling, we're not here to fix this situation. We're not here to provide you solutions. We're here to talk about
how we experienced it and perhaps make you feel more seen, more heard, less alone. And I certainly do, just by putting that on my Instagram this morning and having hundreds of women say, yeah, same, and all being in different circumstances as well. So I appreciate that. But there are other milestones, not just the baby one. I feel like we perhaps should move on from the
baby one. Yeah. Before both of us have a mental breakdown. Yeah, cool, thanks. Moving on.
The other ones, we kind of, you know, danced around the subject, but it is marriage as well, and or being in a relationship. That's another one, coupled with the kid thing, that I am feeling so hard right now.
Yeah. Again, you feel like, I feel like that if you are single, when I was single, I broke up with Matt, we had like a little bit blip. I felt like I had failed and I felt embarrassed. And I do think that, I mean, I feel like you're allowed to be single for a little bit after a relationship breakup. Do you feel like that? And then there's like a grace period of like, oh yeah, cool, she's just had a breakup.
In my head, you're like a year and then you got to go straight back in.
And then it's like, well, why is she still single? Yeah.
Why is she still single? That is it. I get that a lot, obviously, because I've been for a single for a very long time. But sometimes if you get your heart broken, and again, I also think that's an episode, Laura, heartbreak. If you get your heart broken unexpectedly, it's like you've had the world ripped out from under you, and it takes longer than a year to get over sometimes. And also other things happen. And then also being single is great and dating is shit, as we talked about in last week's episode. I felt that though. And then I had some people message this morning to say, you know, they've just got out of a relationship and they feel they've got to start again and that whole thing. And that
starting
sucks.
Again. Ugh.
And that's horrible. And that's, you know, where so many of us are at. But then also that's the danger of then settling.
Yeah, and we don't want to do that.
So as much as perhaps we do want a partner, and I'm so ready for a partner, I'm also never going to settle. And again, there is no age limit to which you can get married. This is where we get to the nice bit of this episode. You can get married at 95 if you want. You can get married 5 times. Sometimes things don't work out. People have very different relationships and perhaps you're not in a safe one. There is nothing wrong with leaving. There is nothing wrong with starting at whatever age. That's really wonderful. So I do feel the pressure on that, but a little bit less.
Good. Also, can we just talk about how weddings are overrated?
Yeah.
I love Matt and I am glad that we're married, because I do actually, I think it's quite nice. I was never that bothered about getting married ever. I really wanted to get engaged and I was on at Matt. I was, oh, when I think back.
You were one of them, weren't you?
Me. I was.
Yeah.
I wanted to be engaged and I wanted to have a baby. Things don't always work out how we want them to. We ended up having this big old wedding and half the people I don't fucking speak to. And I'm like, I mean, how many people had just an average wedding date, right? As in, right, let me hear me out.
Okay.
I loved the things I did and the aesthetic and all of that. And there were certain bits of that were really nice. But I was just like, oh, okay. Because again, we put this pressure on us.
Interesting.
After we got married, and I hope I don't upset Matt with saying this, because I know he had the best date ever and I'm so glad, but he didn't organise it. I think that's the difference, because I was just like worried about what everyone else was.
It's like when you cook
happy.
A roast dinner and you eat it and you're like, well, this is nice, but I'm also fucking exhausted.
Right. And hot and knackered and not hungry anymore. Why does that always happen? It's not fair.
Yeah,
so he had a great time. Happy for
darling. Yeah, of course he did. I was like, oh, what's that? How's that? You're here. I didn't know you were coming.
I want to tell you about a little secret of mine. It's called The Secret Mum Club, and it's a brand new podcast that's all about the little secrets that we keep to ourselves as parents to get us through the day. Whether it's questionable parenting techniques, hilarious fails, or cringeworthy moments of madness from your little ones, the easiest thing to do for all concerned is to brush it under the lightly soiled carpet and pretend everything is okay. So join me, Safina, and my secret sidekick and mum friend, Emma Jones.
Hiya.
Just search and follow The Secret Mum Club wherever you get your podcasts.
Another one though, and a big one, there seems to be this pressure to have bought a house kind of by the time you're 30 or something like that. But the average age for buying a house in the UK is 33 and a half. There is such huge amount of pressure, which again, I do have a mortgage on this house, but I just think it's silly. The most important thing we should have is a roof over our heads. And if someone needs to hear this right now that is like feeling a bit shit that they don't own their own house or are struggling to save or whatever, and it's so impossible. Oh my God, I cannot. Let me tell you, if I had my time again, I kind of mentioned it earlier, I don't know if I would buy.
Really?
It is such a tie.
Yeah.
It is such a worry. Like there is two things that have gone wrong in my house in the last 2 weeks, and I'm looking at like thousands to repair. I don't have thousands. Where does that come from? I'm a solo home buyer. Even if I had a partner here, I don't know where that money's coming from. Like, it's such a tie. and I don't think is as wonderful as people make it out to be. I think the most important thing is that we have is a roof over our heads.
Mm. I'm so glad you've mentioned that, because again, I do feel like a bit like the wedding, like everyone just says it's the best day of your life, and like but owning your own home, it's the best feeling of your life. And actually, if we just kind of normal, and we don't want to sound like Debbie Downers or anything, but it's just to say, like, the reality of it is not always grass is always greener.
Saying that, I love my house. The day that I got the keys and putting the keys in and walking in, it kind of made those years of saving and all of that worth it. But at the same time, I then walked in and 10 minutes later realized how much I'd have to do by myself, and I was like, shit, I don't know if I can do this. And like, the reality is sometimes not as good as your Pinterest board, right? Let's just be honest about that. And again, buying a house, there is no age limit to that either. You can do that whenever you're financially able to. At the minute, interest rates are shocking.
In fact,
Laura, you're the only person I know that is moving house in the next 2 years, you weirdo. But there's no time limit to do that. And so if you want to buy a house because that's what you want, fabulous. But there shouldn't be the pressure on when to do it.
Yeah, agreed. I feel like the last big one is the whole job thing, career thing, isn't it?
Because
I feel like for women, especially women who have children, it's like you're allowed to have a career break to raise children, although it's not seen as a job, even though it's way more hours for way less.
it's seen as a year off work, and I'm sure it ain't.
It's not a holiday, is from what I've been told. But yeah, then there is that pressure to like get back into work or to not, or to be part time or whatever, to take a step back. And then if you don't have kids, I feel like there is there's an added pressure to do well in my career because I don't have kids.
And also the time in which you start your career. So it's kind of this pressure of, you know, if you do go to uni or any further education, that you jump straight into that career and you start climbing the ladder straight away. Well, that's bullshit. Like, again, I think probably a lot of mid-30-year-olds right now are questioning their career choices. Me for one, right? When I went to uni, I graduated at 21. I didn't start working in like communication, so the career I'm in at the minute, I think until I was 24. So those kind of like two and a half, three years, I just worked in the call center where we both worked. And I just, you know, I was going out every weekend. I was like, you know, having a great time in that, but I hadn't started my career and I felt awful because loads of my friends had. I was 24. I was a fetus when I started and I felt like that was really late.
Fetus,
24, you're a fetus. And I felt all that pressure then. And now I'm like 10 years in. I'm like, well, I'm done with that now. That was good. Go on to something else.
So you're feeling the pressure now though, like at work, like you said to me in your voice note the other day that you feel like there's so many people, you mentioned at the top of the episode actually, there's a lot of people that are younger than you at your, at your level. So how do you feel about that?
I actually don't care so much, but that's good. My personal circumstances. But I do, it has been one of those things that have added to the pressure. Right. But that's because I sort of went up the career ladder very, very quickly in a very short period of time. And then the thing happened, which led to a bit of a mental breakdown. And I very purposely made side steps for the last 5 years. Yeah. I haven't moved up. That's been very purposeful.
Yeah.
And so I'm fine with it because it's been my choice. But now I'm looking at these 26-year-olds who are the same level as me now. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like, should I be further ahead? And yes, I should be further ahead if I wanted to, but I didn't. In a year's time, I'll probably go up to the next level, blah, 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 blah. But there's just this huge amount of pressure to want to climb the ladder, to want to get to the top. And I don't know about you, I think we agreed on this recently, that if you were sort of still in the kind of traditional admin officer to whatever officer, to manager, to senior manager, to director kind of level, that you wouldn't want to be the top of the chain anyway, like the director or the CEO, or do you?
I don't know if I'd want to be. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be director level. I love the idea of owning my own business. I mean, I kind of do because I'm self-employed, but But love the thought of having my own like business and doing it like that. I think I'd find it really hard to work for somebody else again. So I don't necessarily feel the pressure in that sense of like, but I definitely did in the office. And I was like, for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, when I was at my old job where we met, I was trying to move on and get another job, or I was trying to move up and nothing happened. So for 2-3 years, I just felt stagnant. And because I was going through all the infertility sadness, I needed something else to focus on, and I couldn't get it. I didn't have it, and I just felt so stuck, and it made me feel so worthless and awful. And I think one of my uni friends, we have like a really lovely like group chat. She's kind of really changed my opinion, and I think our other friend's opinion on like work life as well. She just says, definitely. She was like, I'm in my 30s now. She's like, I do not want to live to work. I want to work to live. Absolutely. She's like, I want to retire by the time I'm 45. She's like, my goal is just to make enough money just so that I can just have a nice, simple life. And I actually think that there's really something to be said for that. Again, we're all different. You might want to be CEO of whatever. That's fine. But I don't know. I kind of like see where she's got on kind of thinking, and I don't want to be, yeah, I don't want to be like working to like a dog and like just a slave to the 9 to 5. I don't want to, and I'm very lucky and I'm very, very fortunate. I don't do that now. Mm. Definitely did feel that pressure before.
Yeah. No, same. You do. And I think naturally, I think it's a 20s thing, isn't it? Where you climb that ladder and every kind of couple of years you should be going up a step, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't work like that in all jobs. So, and it shouldn't work like that for everybody. And if you're happy where you are, don't let the pressure try and push you when you're not ready to.
Yeah.
If you do work full time, you are spending like 40 hours a week at this thing. You deserve to be happy. So I don't want anyone to ever feel pressure to stay in a job that they hate, because let me tell you, it doesn't work. And also just to start again. I think that's exciting.
The moral of the story
is don't feel the pressure. But also really quick, you mentioned it a second ago, like this pressure of working to live. And someone in my DMs mentioned this, and I hadn't really thought about it that way, is that, you know, if you don't have children, naturally a lot of people will be like, oh, she's a career woman.
Yes.
I'm not. I wouldn't call myself a career woman. Like, I earn to make money. I've got a cool job. I'm really happy about it. But I'm like going out on a Sunday to the beach with Stacey woman. I'm like spending Friday with my mum doing this woman. I'm all these other things. Not a career woman. Those are the two options you have, people.
Yeah, pick one.
There are just a couple more of these like silly little milestones that I wanted to mention that bother me. One is education, and it's that whole thing of if you wanted to go to uni, you must go to uni when you're like 18, 19, 20. Mm-hmm. And no, I say no. If you want to go and do any sort of further education or a course or whatever, there is no time limit for you to be able to do that. Perhaps if you're 35, you might not want to go and live in halls again, and I certainly wouldn't. But I have got my mind on doing a master's in medieval history as and when I can afford it. Again, finance is the only thing stopping me doing that. And I've got no qualms about doing that when I'm like 40. Not one.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're going to do that. I really, really am. That makes it like your face lit up when you said about that.
I'd love to, but it's just finance at the minute. So as and when I can afford to do these things, I will do it. That'd be so much fun.
For me personally, so I have to say, like, I kind of regret my degree. I think it helped me get my first job. Mm. So in that respect, I don't. But I learnt more in 6 months of being in my job, in my first publishing company, than I did from 3 years at uni. I'm glad I did it for the social element of it. But I just think now, especially with like uni prices and stuff, like as much as they are, I think if you need to go to uni because you want to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, something that requires a degree, then do that. Otherwise, again, I feel like we put a bit of stigma on people that don't go to university now, and that should not be the case. Do an apprenticeship. Do otherwise. My brother is doing so well. He got an apprenticeship at BAE. And he didn't need a degree. In fact, actually, he did get a degree and the company bloody paid for it. So who's laughing? Whoa,
bloody hell. Right?
What I mean is, like, I just don't think that, again, we should see uni as like the only way and be looked down upon if you don't. I feel like a lot of my friends that didn't go to uni feel like they missed out, or that they don't feel like good enough, or they'll never get the dream job. Let me tell you, the amount of people that are in great jobs or own their own businesses or do whatever that didn't go to uni or didn't even have a GCSE between them, it doesn't fucking matter.
I'm telling you now, I've been on a lot of interview panels where I've been interviewing people and I have never looked at their education. Don't care.
Really?
It's your experience. That's what you care about. So there should not be this pressure to go to uni if you don't want to, or do any further education if you don't want to. Education in terms of that side is not for everybody. Go to uni or don't go to uni. It's your decision. Don't feel external pressure to do one or the other, to be honest.
Yeah, or because you did or you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. The last one is money.
Okay. Tell me more. I didn't expect that.
Again, mid-30s, I feel like there seems to be this pressure that I should be, and people who are at this age should be, very financially independent, have a bunch of savings, be able to put an extension on their house and do all these things. And I say that because a bunch of my friends have got loads of savings and I put an extension on their house, or like you are, you're buying a bigger house and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I am still living paycheck to paycheck. And it's that statistic of most people are sort of 2 months away from homelessness. If I don't pay, that's it. If I don't get paid for 2 months, I can't pay my mortgage and my house is gone. That's my situation. But there seems to be a lot of pressure that I should have all these savings and all of this, and I don't. And the thing is, no one talks about it. And I want to talk about it and say, hello, this is my situation. And there's lots of things I wish I could do. I've gone on one holiday in 4 years, but because I can't afford to. And no one talks about it. And I just wanted to talk about it.
Good for you. I think it's really important we talk about it. I think it is completely normal. I bet the vast majority of people are in the same position as you. People aren't making TikToks and reels and posts talking about that they're living paycheck. Are they not, are they?
No, and it's annoying. And I think I'm going to, because I think actually more people than not are.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. And me and Stacey talked about it yesterday and we were like, I think our financial situation, a lot of our financial situation will change if we were to get into a relationship and that person and we moved in together. Because my bills are disgusting. My bills cover my salary. I have nothing left, right? Because I live alone, because I'm doing this by myself. My mortgage has gone up. It's all gone up, right? I'm lucky that I've, you know, because of this podcast, I've been able to build a community online. So my earning opportunity, there is some there. And I'm now going to lean into that because I have to, because I can't afford to do this otherwise. You know, I've got to get a new front door. That's $2,000. A new front door, Laura, $2,000. I can't even talk about it.
No, it's not. Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, it's got to be all fire regulated and stuff. So we'll talk about it. But I have to. But I think there's this pressure. I feel that very, very much as well, that I don't have this. But I had a really good conversation with my dad yesterday, who made me feel so good. And we all love Gav. And Gav's done very well for himself. He's 62, he's retired. And him and my stepmom, and she retired when she was 55, go on lavish holidays all the time. They've got a lovely house, all this kind of thing. And I was like, Dad, can you just help me out? Like, when did you start to get a bit more financially secure? And he was like, Loz, when him and my mum divorced, he was maybe early 40s, 40, something like that. He's like, I had to start from scratch from then. I had nothing. And so he's built what he's got in the last 20 years. And that gives me a bit of hope. Yeah. So if that gives anyone else hope that Gav's doing lovely, he's going to Bermuda. He went to America for a month last year. Gav's doing all right for himself. Bloody hell. We're very jealous and envious. Well done, love Gav. That he didn't start until much later because his circumstances changed. So he was probably like 44 and started from scratch. So there shouldn't be this pressure to do it. As long as you can pay your bills and you're all right, that's the most important thing, really.
Yeah.
Don't worry about not having $50,000 in the bank.
Oh, massively. Yeah. Mm. I don't know anyone who's got that.
No.
And also, there's so many people that can't pay their bills, that are struggling, and it's not their fault. It's no fault of their own. I know somebody whose mortgage has gone up £700 a month.
Shut up.
I'm not joking.
Jesus.
And they've just had a baby. And they're
£700. That is a mortgage. So,
The baby's like 10, 11 weeks old and she's having to go back to work 2 days a week. It breaks my heart. This is what I mean. This is what I'm just saying. It's just that...
That's the reality of it. No one's talking about it. No one is talking about it. Jesus. All right, we're going to have to talk about it.
It's just really hard. And it's just another thing that we don't need to feel added pressure about. But I say that, it's all very well us sitting here going, oh, don't feel the pressure. That's fucking life-changing stuff if you can't pay your bills and you are in debt. Yeah. And so many people are in debt. It's, again, that's another thing we don't talk about. I feel like, especially in this country, we don't talk enough about money or debt.
I don't know why.
British thing of like, no, we're fine. Everything's fine. Yeah.
That bothers me. I think we might have to do a bit more on that, Laura.
Yeah, maybe we should do like a money episode, like a smart...
Yeah.
We should get on. You know that woman who's like self-made millionaire? Maybe she could give us some advice and tips.
Tell me how to do it. Because at this point, and I really will, I think I'd earn my millions on OnlyFans, but I'd have to talk to the gross men and I can't be bothered. But yeah, and you're right. There's a few of these things that we've talked about in this episode today where are arbitrary. Like, there's no time limit to get married. There's no time limit to do all of these things. But there are some of these things that are genuine pressure, like being able to afford your bills.
Yeah,
is
to eat.
And sometimes, if this is helpful to anybody, for me, it has been heating or eating because, like, I can't, my bills have all gone up. Where does that money come from? I'm on one public sector salary here, people. Like, so, and if that helps you feel less alone in that. So there's some of these things are a huge amount of pressure, but the money one is a scary one, I think.
It is scary, yeah. And I genuinely, like, I didn't know just like how scary that was for you. So I really appreciate you opening up to me and to all of our amazing listeners. And I just can imagine that already that you'll be inundated with people being like, oh my God, didn't realise. Same.
I hope so. I think I'll do some Instagrams around this when this episode comes out, so we can maybe talk about it a bit more and you guys can share your stories and perhaps make others feel less alone. Because I think those who have a lot of disposable income or extra income, we know about it. But those that don't have any, we don't really know about it. Like, you know, did you know all of this about me? And probably not everybody. So let's talk about it a bit more and make ourselves feel less pressure, especially in a bloody cozy lives. We're still cozy living out here. It's bloody nightmare.
Well, I, for one, am really grateful for your vulnerability and your honesty today.
Thank you.
I feel like this was just literally us chatting and just having a good old chat. But I really hope it's helped anyone listening. So if you are, like Lauren said, if you are feeling the pressure on anything, then I hope that this has been like a bit of a hug and a chat among friends to maybe take that pressure off you a little bit.
Yeah, totally agree. Guys, I just really love this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. We really hope you've enjoyed it. And we will be back next week with a new episode. But if you do want more of us in the meantime, you can check us out on Instagram at Go Love Yourself Pod and join our Facebook group, Go Love Yourself Community. Or if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email golove@crowdnetwork.co.uk.
You can also support the show by subscribing on Patreon or on Apple Podcasts, where you can get ad-free and early episodes for £1 a week. Or you can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Hello, I'm La La La, Let Me Explain, and this is It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.